Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. I'm going to talk about a mystery that we all have to go through, and that's death. We're not a death-denying church. We're a death-defying church. Now, when I preach, I can't tell you how, where, or when you're going to die, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you die. This is a very intriguing program, and I know God's going to touch you. Let's go to the live preaching. I used to be so selfish, and I realized that, you know what, one of the meanings of life, and a huge meaning of life, is to go from selfishness to selflessness. If you read any of the lives of the saints, and any people who really love God, for example, Mother Teresa, for example, or St. Catherine of Siena, St. Francis of Assisi, they all started off very selfish. You know, when you come out of your mother's womb, you know, you're crying like a little baby, what about me, you know, take care of me, you're selfish. But as you go on in life and as you give your heart to Christ and you surrender to God more and more, you go from selfishness to selflessness. And that's one of the main meanings of life. I was way over here. I was so selfish. You know, I was using people. I just cared about myself. And I was just striving for money. And then I had that near-death experience and I knew I had to change. And the Spirit of God is there to help you to change. One thing I didn't tell you about on Monday night about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. What that means is the Spirit comes into our life to empower us to be the best we can, as I said, but also to change us, to sanctify us, to make us holy like God is holy, as we've heard in the Scriptures. You know, be holy, for I am holy. And holiness isn't something stern or mean or weird. Holiness is gentleness, it's caring for people, it's selflessness, generosity, tenderness, becoming courageous, patient, merciful, loving. That's holiness. And that's something I knew nothing about. I had very little virtue in my life as a teenager. And wow, did God give me another chance. And I mean, my life changed radically. And as I said, that was instrumental in me becoming a priest and really starting to care for people. And listen to people and reach out to people and have a heart for people to come to eternal life, because I know that there's life after life and that death is only a transition. Let me tell you a few things that I learned beside going from selfishness to selflessness. All my life as a young person, and maybe many of the young people that are here tonight, yeah, I grew up Catholic. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I prayed, I made the sign of the cross, I did all that, I knelt before the Blessed Sacrament. But I still had this gnawing doubt in my heart, is there a God or not? Is God really true, or is all this just somebody's philosophy, or maybe we just want to have this hope, this false hope? And I've talked to people in their 80s who go to church, who aren't sure. You know, they've lived their whole life in church, not only Catholic, but other denominations, and they're not sure if there really is a God. And especially teenagers, I think, struggle with this. Because as we live in this culture, it pulls us away from faith. And not many young people are believing. Some are. There's a whole group of people that God is raising up, of young people. But the majority of young people in our culture don't know who God is, or if there is a God. And I was one of them. Well, when this happened, not only was I convinced that, yes, God is true, but that He loved me just the way I was, unconditionally. When I talked about seeing the light, it's more than seeing. I didn't see a form or a face. I saw light. But this light embraced me and touched me and loved me. I've been loved by girlfriends, by my parents, by friends, but I've never been loved like that. The unconditional, beautiful, passionate, deep love that God has for me and for you. And you are loved unconditionally. Before the world came to be, God had you in mind. And you know, think about it. He could have created the whole universe with all the billions of stars, billions of people, the billions that have ever been, the billions that are alive right now. He could have created all this. He is able, and he could have left you out. Nobody would have known. Your whole life, gone. Nobody even would have known. But he loves you so much that the one and only universe that he created, with all these people and all this creation and the magnificence that it all is, it wouldn't be complete without you and without me. What an awesome God. And that's what the glory. You should have, I feel the glory right now, the ecstasy of God, his majesty. He's just, for a moment, use your imagination to picture the mountains and the sea and the people and all the universe, the galaxies. They say that there's 300 billion galaxies in the universe. God is amazing. And he's going to raise us from the dead. So first of all, God is, and God is love. And then I found out, as I've said and hinted at, that death is not the end. Some of you are afraid. Some of you watching by TV, you're thinking, there is no hope. There is hope. Death is not the end. Our faith in Christ tells us that a resurrection is coming. There's life after life. And don't believe the lies of the evil one. Don't believe the lies of the culture that says that there's nothing after this. There's much more after this. This is just the beginning. This is the seed of eternity. That's why this means so much right now. The decisions that we make, the life that we live, determines eternity. It has everything to do with meaning and purpose. And I found out that death is, it's kind of like going into a hotel. You walk through a revolving door and all of a sudden, or say you're in the hotel and you walk through the revolving door and you go outside. You go from one reality to the next in a split second. You go through that tunnel and everybody's going to go through it. And as I said, since I've given this talk, hundreds have gone right through it, right to God. And that's right where you're going to go. You're not going to die and non-exist and stop living and your consciousness not be. No, you're going to go right to God. The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, the Bible says. And precious, this is right from the Bible, precious is the death of one of God's faithful. Right from the Bible. Precious is the death of one of God's faithful. So in other words, God has his eye upon you. And when you die, it's not going to be an arbitrary thing that nobody's going to know about and you hope that God hears about it someday. He's got his eye upon you. He knows what your time will be, and it's precious in his sight. That's why St. Francis called it sister death. It was a friend to him, a moment of passage. And especially if you're really suffering, it's a moment of liberation. And then I learned that we must be prepared for our death. What is the meaning of life? Of course, to love, to grow in selflessness, away from selfishness. But the meaning of life, and this is what God taught me, is, Cedric, you must be prepared to come before me again. And that's exactly what's going to happen. I am now in the meantime, from 19 years old when those near-death experiences happened, to when I die and go back to God. I'm in the meantime now, and I'm trying to live my life flat out, with passion, becoming all that I can be, because I know I'm going back, and you are too. And I want to take you with me. And the meaning of life is to be prepared to stand before the majesty of God once again, because we're all going to be judged. We're all going to go through a life review. What did you do with the gift that God gave you? And how did you handle it? Did you let other people lead you astray? Were you your own person? Did you live with love? And believe me, we are all going through this life review. And I'll tell you, the meaning of life is preparation in three areas. Life is all about learning, growing, coming into a relationship with God. It's all about becoming in virtue, as I talked about, mercy, courage, justice. That's the second thing that we have to grow in, love, compassion. And then the third thing is, into everybody, and I talked about this morning when I talked about the power of positive thinking, And to every person, God has given ability and potential and grace. And he taught me that we are all invited to live our life fully. The name of my TV program is Live with Passion. Because I've discovered in a lot of people's lives, you know, they may start off with some passion and some enthusiasm and get educated and have all these hopes and dreams. Then many people kind of give up on their dreams and their passion and their marriages. And they just kind of live a mediocre life. And really, what life is all about, folks, or one of the meanings of life, is to achieve your potential and to dream your dreams. You know, the vision of Pentecost is young people will dream dreams, old people will see visions. I always tell people you're never too young to have a dream and never too old to have a vision. And so, you know, whatever God has put in you, to be the best parent you can be, to be the best student you can be, to have dreams about what you're going to do when you get out of school, to be the best priest that you can be. I mean, don't live life with mediocrity. Live life with passion. Live life with enthusiasm. Celebrate life. It's such an awesome gift. And that's one of the things that God impressed upon me, how the giftedness of this. Spend some time in prayer and appreciate it. We can get so dulled about what life is. And life is such a beautiful gift. And so I have a saying that I love, who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And when I stand before God, I want to know that I've learned, I want to know that I've become holy, and I want to know that I've achieved my potential. And that's what I'm working at. And I think those are three great areas. Learn, get educated, let life teach you, become virtuous, holiness, justice, compassion, and then dream your dreams and live your vision and live with passion. Achieve your potential. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And that's the meaning of life. You know, you go after it with gusto, with enthusiasm. You celebrate life to the max. Because so many people are in depression. They don't know the meaning of life. They live mediocre lives. And I think that, you know, we ought to be living each day with great enthusiasm and celebration and joy because God has given it to us. We came in singing, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia." And we are an Alleluia people. And then another thing that God taught me was that a new day is coming. And now I want to turn us toward hope. Hope is such a beautiful virtue. You know, we're very familiar with this world. You know, we've lived here all of our life. But it isn't the only reality. Something different is coming. We may be familiar with this world, but we have to use our imaginations to try to understand the hope that is set before us. The Bible says that three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. Right now, it's hope anticipated, but then in heaven, it's going to be hope realized, and it is going to be awesome. In fact, the scriptures tell us that we have a living hope. This isn't a fanciful maybe or a wish or I think so. It's a living hope of eternity in heaven. And I've been given glimpses of that too. I'm not trying to get you to look at me and say, "Wow, look at Father Cedric." I just want to teach you the truth. And, you know, my whole priesthood is dedicated to preparing people for eternal life and having people come to Christ and believe in Him, live your lives with passion, make a difference in your world. And we have a living hope. I remember, of course, you know, in the Book of Revelation, chapter 22, it tells us that one day we will all see, we heard it in the first reading, we'll see the throne of God, and from the throne of God comes the beautiful river and then the fruit-bearing trees, and we will worship God face to face. No more tears, no more sadness, no more bodily pain. There's going to be a new reality. That's our true home. And I think in everybody's heart we have this longing for heaven. And one of the reasons I think that people get into addictions and all these other things is because they long for heaven. There's this hole in their heart for heaven, and they give up hope. And so they try to grab for whatever they pleasure they can get now instead of holding out hope. And I love what the scriptures say, that we're prisoners of hope. And that's what I'm going to tell you to be, a prisoner of hope. Let hope captivate you so that your whole mind and heart is fixed toward heaven. I remember I went to a place called the Hearst Castle. William Randolph Hearst, you know, he had all these newspapers, had all this money. He used to build these opulent, magnificent homes. One of the places that he built it was in San Simeon, California, just north of Santa Barbara, just south of Monterey. And I go on retreat there once a year, and every once in a while I go over to the Hearst Castle, and I love to see all the opulent rooms and all the treasures from around the world that he gathered there. And it's so beautiful because I like to look at it because I'm trying to use my imagination to imagine what it's going to be in heaven, just to have one of these houses, one of these mansions. And I remember one time we went down to the pool and they were showing us around this beautiful pool there, and there's mosaics everywhere. And the tour guide said, "Look beneath your feet right now." And we looked beneath our feet and she said, "Do you see those flakes in the mosaics? They're gold." She said, "Right now you are standing on gold." And sure enough, I looked, and first time in my life I was ever standing on gold. And I thought, you know, about Revelation 22, the streets will be paved with gold, the Bible says. In other words, there is going to be such wealth and opulence. The wealth of the nations will be given to us. There's not going to be any more poverty or pain or hurt or crying. But you know what? I figured this out. In heaven, there's going to be one small problem. There's going to be a large unemployment rate. What do I mean by that? No more funeral directors, no more policemen, no more firemen, no more lawyers. You know, we're not going to have any need for that. But you know, if you are looking for a job, you can come and apply to me because I'm going to need a greenskeeper for my 36-hole golf course behind my mansion. It reminds me of the story. This man, he's an avid golfer, and he has a dream. Maybe you heard this. This angel appears to him in a dream, and the angel says, "I've got some good news and some bad news." And the man says, "Well, what's the good news?" And the angel says, "The good news is there are golf courses in heaven, and they are awesome, unlike anything you've ever seen." Man says, "What's the bad news?" The angel said, "The bad news is you're teeing off tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So heaven is going to be a place. You know, use your imaginations, folks. God has given me this gift. I've been to the mountaintop, and I've seen the promised land. It's a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of reunion with our loved ones. It's everything that we've ever desired. And it is there. It's the bride waiting to be revealed. And I pray that you will be imbued with faith here tonight, and that you'll ask God to give you a vision, to spark your imagination, to help you to know about your true home. This is not our true home. It's what we're familiar with, but it's not what we were meant to be. Over and over again, the scriptures tell us that our commonwealth, our home, is in heaven. I remember I went to Rome one time. I led a pilgrimage over there, and I studied there. And I went into the catacombs, and we had Mass. The catacombs, of course, is the place where the early Christians used to go to hide out so that they can have their services, have Mass, because they didn't want to be martyred. They didn't want to be killed. The catacombs were the place where they were protected. They're underground. Well, when you have Mass under there, let's just say the air is stuffy, and it's very dark, and, you know, kind of live by candle down there. But I saw one of the earliest Christian symbols etched into the wall in that catacomb. It was the catacomb of St. Callistus. And the symbol was this. It was a symbol of an anchor with a little cross on the top. And it comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope. What hope? The hope of eternity with God in heaven. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. In other words, you know what an anchor does for a ship? When the storm comes and the ship is being tossed and, you know, tossed to and fro by the wind and the storm, they drop the anchor and the anchor holds it fast so that no matter what the storm is, the doubt and the unbelief in our culture, people that try to lead you astray, suffering and hardship and confusion, and when you don't understand what life is, difficult relationships, you know, when the storm's blowing, hope holds you fast. And of course, the hope that we have is not a wish, as I said, or somebody's fanciful idea. It's a living hope. And it's a hope that will never die. It lasts forever. And it's going to be realized. And oh, I was made for heaven. I'm in the in-between right now, and so are you. And one day when we see it, we'll throb with joy, and our hearts will exult with glory. And what a beautiful day is coming. So never, ever, ever lose hope. That anchor will hold you fast no matter what you're going through. And I really have to believe that, you know what, a lot of people I think that are depressed, some that are suicidal, they've lost hope. And hope is it's a theological virtue. God gives it to you. Ask Him for it. You never know what He might want to share with you. Show a little faith in God and say, yes, I believe what Father Cedric's saying. I believe that heaven's my home. I believe I'm on the way. Please give me glimpses of it. And I'm not saying He will totally, but something will happen in you. And then as I come to a conclusion, I want to tell you about a story that I absolutely love about hope. You know, there was a funeral here today, and, you know, we've all been to wakes. Those are times, you know, when the person is reverenced and their life is talked about. I heard about these three women. Maybe you've heard this story. I love it. And I put it in some of my books. I can't remember which ones. But these three women were standing around talking. Actually, they were having coffee, and they were talking, of all things, about what they wanted to be buried in when they were waked. First one said, you know, when I'm waked, you know, I certainly want to have nice clothing on, but I want this beautiful pearl necklace that I'm wearing because it's a family heirloom, and it was given to me by my grandmother. And when people look in there and see that necklace, I want them to know that I love my family and I'm proud to be a part of it. So the second woman said, well, when I'm buried, I want to be buried with my husband's wedding ring. It's a symbol of our commitment. We were married for 55 years, and I want everybody to see that ring to know that how happy I was to be married and that I was faithful. And so they both looked at the third one. They said, what do you want to be buried with? And she kind of smiled, and she looked at them and said, well, when I'm buried, I want to be buried with a fork. They looked at her. They said, a fork? What do you want to be buried with a fork for? She said, well, that's easy, because whenever we'd have dinner, Mom would clear the plates. After dinner, she'd say, keep your fork. Dessert is coming. And I want everybody that looks in there to know and sees the fork to know that the best is yet to come. Folks, death is not the end. It's a new beginning. And we have a radical hope, a living hope in Christ. And I simply want to assure you tonight that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I can't tell you where or how or when, but I can assure you that you will die. And I've told you what's going to happen. My whole goal as a Catholic priest is to help you to be prepared. And as I said, the meaning of life is about growing into selflessness. It's about knowledge. It's about becoming virtuous. And it's about being the best that you can be. Live your life with passion. Be all that you can be. Who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's rise and pray. Well, Heavenly Father, in a way, this is like an Easter day. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at this Eucharist. And I pray that you will infuse a living hope into each person here, especially young people that are here tonight. For this we pray to the Lord. That all of us would grow in our life, that we would continue to learn, that we would grow in virtue, and that we would realize our potential and become the best that we can be. For this we pray to the Lord. And that we would live lives of courage, integrity, and justice, full of patience, and full of generosity toward others. For this we pray to the Lord. And that when we come before you, and have that life review, that you will say to each one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. For this we pray to the Lord. And lastly, we want to pray for those who have died and gone before us, our parents, some of your children, our friends, that they would rest in peace, know the wonderful beatific vision of God, and one day we'll be reunited with them in heaven. For this we pray to the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon your people. Thank you for their attentiveness. And I pray that when they're alone tonight, when they pray to you, you will assure them of their living hope in heaven. So may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.